you relate to one another by loving your neighbor, loving others. So when you actually love others, what does it actually mean, and what does it actually involve? Who are these neighbors that you're talking about? Actually, is anybody, believers as well as unbelievers. Now, in the portion of Galatians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul spoke of this verse, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, love thy neighbor as thyself," he was referring to the very words of the Lord Jesus himself. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. Now, here in Matthew chapter 22, this is the account of the Lord Jesus when he met with a Pharisee. Now, this Pharisee came to the Lord Jesus and asked him, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" Meaning, what is the greatest commandment in within the Ten Commandments? And you see the Lord Jesus replied to them in verses 37 to 40. I shall read them to you. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the commandments of and the law and the prophets." So here the Lord Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments into two greatest commandments. First, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Then after that, following that, love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice these two greatest commandments. There is a vertical relationship as well as a horizontal relationship. So the vertical relationship comes first, and that means we must love the Lord our God first. And then comes the horizontal relationship. We ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. So just like in the cross, right, there is a vertical portion, there is also a horizontal portion. So remember, bear in mind this, the vertical relationship to love God first, and then followed by the horizontal relationship, love your neighbor as yourself. But what is this love that the Lord Jesus is talking about? If you go to the New Testament, there are actually several words for the word love. You have, for example, phileo, which means brotherly love, love between Christian brothers. Then you also have storge, and that is familial love. For example, the parents love you, and that is love between parents and child. Then you have also eros, which is passionate love. But the Lord Jesus, when he spoke of this, in verses 37 to 38, was referring to one kind of love. And that kind of love is agape love. And it is a very special kind of love. It is a sacrificial kind of love. The same kind of love that the Lord Jesus himself had shown to you and me when he died on the cross for our sins. So let us examine this vertical as well as horizontal relationship in a little bit more detail. The vertical relationship, as you all know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This means you must love the Lord your God with your entire being. But before you can actually love the Lord your God and also love others, you need to build a personal relationship with the Lord. You need to have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just as you know, okay, if you love someone, you definitely have to get to know the person. So in this case, you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So this day, I present to you this question. Have you actually accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Only if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you able to love God? Are you able to love others? Because this love, this agape love, actually comes from God himself, given to us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and God enabled us to love others with this agape love. So we have this vertical as well as this horizontal relationship. Now, coming to the horizontal relationship itself, this is love thy neighbor as thyself. That means you need to love others. And the question here is that, what is this kind of love that you need to show? Is it the kind that is passive within yourself? It is not just the kind that is passive within yourself. You profess that you actually love a person, it must be translated into action. So it must come out in an active manner. It must be shown in action. The Bible actually gives us many passages teaching us how we may actually love one another. So in this series of 10 messages, I will focus on this word, others. Now let me explain why I'm focusing on this word, others. Because if you look into the Bible, there will be many passages that have this word, one another. And if you were to search yourself, okay, maybe you can do this as an exercise at home, you will be able to find at least 50 of these one another verses. And each of these one another verses that are given in the Bible, they teach you one aspect of using this agape love to translate it to action, how you can love others. So there are many of them, 50, but I will be focusing on a few of these one another verses, and we hope that we can learn precious lessons from them. So the first one that I've chosen for today is esteem others better than self. And this is the text for this is taken from the book of Philippians, which you have just read, chapter 2 in verses 3 to 8. So the question is, what is esteem? So if you think about yourselves, who are your friends? Who are the ones whom you like to associate with, whom you want to share things with? You also notice that there are also some people which you don't want to associate with them. Maybe it's because in the manner they behave. But what it boils down is that sometimes your friends, you have your friends because of you have actually respect for them. So the word esteem actually means that you highly regard as important, respect, or you place value upon someone or something. So esteem means to highly regard, to highly respect. For example, if you say you respect your friend, means you highly regard your friend. So that is the meaning of the word esteem. So we will deal with this topic of esteem one another today. But I'm sure you also have heard of the phrase self-esteem. Self-esteem means it describes a person's self-worth. That means it's personal value. And this is in the light of worldly standards. So self-esteem, I'm sure you also have come across many books on this topic of self-esteem. These books on self-esteem help to promote self-confidence, self-worth. And they claim that if you actually follow all these things, you will become successful in life. So besides that, I'm sure you also have heard of motivation speakers. You know who these people are. They also promote self-esteem. They earn a living by going around, speaking to audiences, and then motivating them to be self-confident, to have self-esteem, so that they can be successful in life. So you also hear of them say many catchphrases. When they actually speak to an audience, they will say things, they will tell you to have a can-do spirit. Everything you can do. There is nothing you cannot do. The world is at your feet. And then also things like, make your mark in this world. And this has crept in even into many places. I'm sure in schools, you all know that even schools sometimes today hire these motivation speakers in order to help the students build self-confidence. I myself had this experience years back when my daughter was in primary school. She was about to face PSLE exams. And then you had this school sending a circular saying that, oh, we invite your child and yourself to come. We have invited so-and-so, a motivation speaker. And the whole idea was to build up self-confidence before PSLE exam so that they can actually do well with PSLE exam. But I did not give permission for my daughter to do so because we believe that in everything that we do, even in our exams, we really need to depend on God and do our best unto Him. So the problem with this self-esteem is that it will promote self-pride. And when you have self-pride, you start to depend less and less on God. Everything you think you can do yourself, you won't even pray. Okay? You sort out problems yourself, and you work out solutions for yourself. You will not depend on God anymore. So instead of being self-confident, we always, as believers, need to be God-confident. We need to be confident in God, not confident in self. So the Bible tells us here that instead of having self-esteem, we need to esteem others better than self. Now notice that there is also an element of humility here. It calls us to humble ourselves. And so we will see in the series of in the text that we've just read, we will look into this aspect of esteeming others better than self in the book of Philippians. And there we will learn three important things that we need to take note about esteeming others better than self. Now, the book of Philippians, a little bit of background. This Philippian church, among many of the churches that are founded and also ministered to by the Apostle Paul, this church was one that was in very good spiritual health. The Philippian Christians, they loved Paul, they also trusted in Paul, and they had a very warm fellowship with Paul. At times, they even gave of their substance to help Paul's ministry. But as for all many churches, there are also certain shortcomings. And one of the shortcomings of this church, the Philippian church, was the lack of unity, lack of harmony. People were not united, they were quarreling each other, and the Apostle Paul actually had to address this problem. And so you find in Philippians chapter 2, the first two verses, the Apostle Paul encouraged the Philippian Christians to be united with one another. And having been united with one another, now in verse 3, he tells them that they need to esteem others better than self. So we will now look into the text to see the three things that we can actually learn from this particular passage. First, in verse 3, is a command for us to esteem others better than self. So the text in verse 3, the Bible reads, "Let nothing be done out of strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than self." So first, you notice that there is a negative instruction and then a positive instruction. What is this negative instruction? Let nothing be done out of strife and vain glory. And then the positive instruction, instead, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So in other words, Paul is saying here to the Philippian Christians, don't do anything. Don't serve one another out of strife, out of vain glory. What is strife? Strife, I'm sure some of you know, is like a contentious spirit, a person who likes to quarrel, who likes to gain his own way all the time. But the root word of this, if we go back, actually means a person who is like a hireling. Hireling, you know, they work for wages. So a person who is a hireling will have motivation. His motivation to serve and to work is mainly for his own self-ambition and self-interest. So he will contend with others, he will argue with others, fight others, in order to ensure that he himself has gained out of it. And that is a hireling, and that is a person who actually serves by strife. Now when we talk about vain glory, it literally means empty glory. And this is a person, description of a person, who actually takes excessive pride in himself over his own achievements. So he's a person who, when he does work, when he serves others, he will boast about it and hopes that others will actually praise him for the work that he has done. So Paul here says, don't serve out of vain glory and out of strife. So that is in the negative instruction that Paul has actually given. And sadly, sometimes in church, we do find behavior that is like that. Okay? Sometimes you find people working in certain committees. The purpose of their work is that they want to draw attention to themselves. They want people to praise them. They want to say, oh, what a good job you have done in such and such a committee. So that is entirely what the Apostle Paul speaks against. So instead, when we actually serve, we have to serve to please God. And also remember that it is a privilege that God has actually given us. So that is the negative instruction Paul has spoke about. Then he says in the positive, and this is where the command to esteem others better than themselves comes. He says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So when you are in lowliness of mind, it means have a humble opinion of yourself. But this, when you say esteem others better than self, you put others above self. But this must not be carried to the extreme where you actually degrade yourself. You degrade yourself and then have such a low opinion of yourself that you are unable to serve God, unable to serve others. We also must fairly and honestly judge ourselves, judge our own abilities, our own gifts, and use these gifts to serve God. Of course, we are not perfect. We also have our own weakness and frailties, and we also need to depend on God to enable us to serve Him and to serve the Lord. So these are the things that we need to take in mind. And then he says here, let each esteem others better than self. In a positive sense, it is also not one of Paul's humility. We cannot go after Paul's humility. What we need to do is that we need to be a person who is practical and relate to others in a practical, humble, and also relate to others in a very kind manner. So remember that the Lord Jesus Himself has saved us. We are all saved by grace. And we also, even as we serve one another, we also need instruction. We also need correction from others. And sometimes we also need guidance from others. So the bottom line that is in verse 3 actually is to tell us that when we relate to one another, we cannot relate in a very rash manner. We cannot relate in arrogant, assertive manner. Instead, we are to treat each other with respect in a humble manner. And this particular word here, esteem others, is in the present tense. That means it is an action that must be continuous. Continuous means that you need to do this continually all the time. So sometimes you may forget, but you need to bring this to remembrance, to continually do this, to esteem one another better than self. Make this a habit of your life. So having given the command for us to esteem one another better than self, now Paul in verse 4 gives us the second aspect that we need to know. The way to esteem, how to esteem one another better than self. So he says here in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now look, you all know, is like using your eye to see something, right? But here, look does not mean a casual look. Just look, glance, let's say, at that direction, then after that you forget about it. But that look actually is to look intently, to focus your full attention, give your full attention upon something. And here, the Bible tells us, look, not every man on his own things. That means Paul here says to the Philippian Christians, don't just be absorbed in your own concerns and needs. So this is a selfish mentality, which we often do. We often treat ourselves as very important. So we look to our own self. Whatever needs, whatever concerns, you look to yourself first. And this selfish mentality is not from the Lord. So we have to avoid having this selfish mentality. It is of the world. It is not pleasing before the Lord. And this selfish mentality, indeed brings about a situation where it will cause others also to isolate themselves from us. So we see a situation here where Paul actually talks about don't look at your own concerns and needs. So instead, he says, but every man also on the things of others. That means now, but every man, but look every man also on the things of others. That means you must not be just concerned about your own needs, your own concerns, but you also need to spare a thought for your brother and sister. Spare a thought for your brothers and sisters' needs. So don't live for yourself. Only care about your own things, only care about your own concerns, needs, but also you need to care about your fellow brothers and sisters' needs. So remember that the concerns and needs of your fellow brothers and sisters should precede your own needs. It must come even before your own needs. If you see them have a need, you ought to attend to their needs first before you look actually to the need of yours. So the way for us in order to esteem one another is to not to have a selfish mentality, but also to consider your fellow brothers and sisters' needs. So if you consider, who would be the example for us to follow? The Lord Jesus himself is the supreme example for all of us to follow. And you see that in verses 5 to 8, which talks about the Lord Jesus' example to us. How the Lord Jesus can esteem others better than himself. So here in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What is this mind is talking about? It's the mind of Christ. So here Paul urges them to have the mind of Christ. And also the same way of thinking of Christ before he even came to this earth. What is this way of thinking of Christ that is connected with esteem others better than self? We find it in verses 6 to 8. Because in verse 6 it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. So Christ is in the form of God. He is God. He's God in the past, he's always been God, even before he became man. He was in heaven, in all his divine glory, he had all his divine attributes with him, and he's the all-powerful God. He's not constrained by space nor time. And here it says here that even being in this form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal to God. This means that he did not think about this idea of being God as something that he need to hold on so tightly that he doesn't want to give up. Because he actually came down to this earth, because he was willing to give up heaven's glory to come down to this earth to die for our sins. And in verse 7 it says, this is what he did, but made himself of no reputation and took him of the form of a servant and was made in likeness of man. That means he came down to this earth, he made himself of no reputation. No reputation means like to empty yourself. Okay? And what did he empty himself of? He gave up his divine rights, divine privileges of being in heaven. Instead, he chose to come down on this earth as a mortal, helpless man for us. So you see the Lord giving up his glory to come down to this earth. So that is an example of esteeming others better than self. And did he actually lose any of his attributes? You know that God has all his attributes, right? Of omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, and so on. He's 100% man, 100% God when he was on this earth. He never lost of this any of his attributes. Why do I say this is that some of commentators which you read the Bible may say that, oh, he gave up his divine attributes but actually it's not true. What happened is that he chose not to exercise some of his divine attributes on this earth. So the Lord Jesus came to this earth, and then verse 7 also says, he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And this is the example of humility he has shown to you and I. He took upon himself the form of a servant. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for men. So this is the example he has shown towards us. And not only has he come to this earth to be a man, he came with a specific mission to save you and I from our sins. And verse 8 says, and being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. So when he became in the fashion of a man, he lived on this life, he was perfectly sinless, and then he was obedient to God the Father, and even to the point of death. So he came to die for our sins. His mission was to die for our sins. And this death is not the usual kind of death. It is a very unusual kind of death, and it is death on the cross. And during the time of the Roman Empire, this form of punishment was reserved for the hardest of criminals. And it was a very cruel and slow way to die. So the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, he chose this way in order to die for us. It was not because of that he was unable to escape out of death. He being 100% man, 100% God, he had all his divine attributes, he could have summoned legions of angels to save himself. And you also know the account of Judas betraying him. So it's also not on account of Judas being so cunning to be able to betray him, cause him to be arrested and then put to death. But he himself chose to be put to death. He submitted himself to all these wicked men so that he will be put to death in order to save you and I. So if you bear this in mind, that how much he has loved us, what actually drove him to the cross? What actually drove him to actually die for us? We know that we cannot save ourselves. There's no way we can save ourselves. But the Lord Jesus was driven by his agape love, the love that was talking about in Matthew. Okay? That agape love was driven by it. And because of that love, he came to this earth to give himself up to save you and I. So this day he has also given all of us believers the same agape love, to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to use his love in order to relate to one another. And in this case, also esteem one another. So the command for you is to, from the Lord, is to esteem one another. And this will apply in every area of our lives. For yourselves, for myself, also in places like your home, in places like school, even in places like church. At home, you have your parents and also your siblings with you. The question also is, like, with regards to your parents, do you have proper respect for them? So, sometimes we have tendency to take our parents for granted. They are there always, and they are supposed to provide for our needs. But have you ever shown respect to them? For example, if many of you may be very familiar with IT, computers, you're all very knowledgeable. I think you all can type very fast also, right? And sometimes on the phone, you can see you all typing very fast, right? You may be very knowledgeable. Sometimes your parents may not be so. They are a generation before. Even for myself, I'm a generation before. During my days, the computer was black and white. Okay? The screen was black and white, very small. Okay? And the first computer I think I had was the first generation of Apple. Okay, and it's a very small box, like very simple. You see the screen only black and white. But today, of course, things have moved on, more sophisticated. So sometimes, your parents at home, maybe they may have certain problems with the computer, don't know how to go on from there. They may ask you, can you help? Can you help me fix this problem? And that is where the question is, are you willing to actually help them happily? joyfully help them, or will you start to murmur and complain? You start to think, oh, this is such a simple problem. How come father, mother, mom and dad doesn't know how to solve this problem? So these are the things you need. It may be a simple problem to you, but it is not a simple problem to them. Likewise, when you're actually at home, then some of you are older siblings. How do you treat your younger siblings? Do you have respect for them? Do you sometimes just order them around? Okay. And also, even in school, the way you treat your fellow students, fellow teachers, we are also called to esteem them. Okay. If you behave in a way that is very arrogant, then the testimony of Christ will be lost. Okay. And we, wherever God has placed us, we are supposed, others are supposed to be able to see Christ in us. And if we behave in arrogant manner, how do you expect them to know Jesus? We are expected to preach the gospel everywhere God has placed us. If you were to preach the gospel and they know you have such an arrogant attitude, will they actually listen to you? And even in church itself, you all have gone through many years of study of God's Word. In fact, from the very beginning, some of you were in pre-primary, then after that you go to primary, then you go to teens. You have a very solid grounding on God's Word. I myself didn't have any grounding like that because when I became a believer, I was an adult. So I missed out a lot. I didn't have any teens camp like you all to learn God's Word. But the question is, if you know the Word of God so much, if you understand the Word of God so much, how do you use the Word of God? Will you use it in a way that is arrogant? Okay, you use it in order to impress others, how much you know, and then expect others to praise you? Or if a brother or sister come to you, he may not understand the Word of God well, and you know, are you willing to explain to him? And then after that, to help him to obey God's Word. Now, all of us, we may, in this church pandan, we have a lot of feeding from God's Word. The question here is that, is it just going to be head knowledge for you, or is it going to be heart knowledge? God desires that we have heart knowledge. That means, when you actually read the Bible, when the Bible is taught to you, it must convict your heart. It must convict your heart to obey what it says, and through obedience of what it says, then you will be able to relate to one another in the way that pleases God. So, I hope that in this message that we have today, that you have learned precious lessons. Remember that the basis, the whole basis of our relating to one another in a biblical manner stems from the Ten Commandments. The vertical relationship, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not able to love God. So this day, may you contemplate on this question and pray that you will come to know the Lord. And then second, the horizontal relationship. After you love God, then you need to love others. And this is the same agape love that God actually has shown towards us in dying on the cross. So we ought to show this same agape love when we relate to one another. So also know the three things that you've learned. It is a command for us to esteem one another. The way to esteem, consider others better than self. Look at others, not look to self. And then finally, we have to follow the supreme example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in esteeming one another. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for thy goodness, thy grace in saving each and every one of us. Lord, we thank thee that in the Bible thou hast taught us how to relate to one another. And even one aspect is to esteem others better than self. Help us as we live our lives even to be witnesses for thee, and even consider this important aspect to live lives that are pleasing before thee. We thank thee for this day's message, Lord, and we pray that you will speak to our hearts, that we will do according to thy will. This is our prayer, giving praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.